Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It is the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. in time for lunch and a break, or 3 to 4 p.m. in time for late lunch or dinner or a break. And we're here for you every Wednesday. And we've also included the Justice Club, which sometimes we just talk about justice or injustice, because we all know there's very little justice, not only in America, but around the world. So what happened to the word justice?
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
That's right. You will find out what tips and information when we discuss justice on Columbo Chronicles of what little justice there is. But those tips are very important and could save a life or save your financial assets or keep your children in your custody. So many things. I'm a longtime advocate for justice. Some people call me a crusader for justice in the media. Whichever, it's all the same. Advocate or crusader, we're all seeking some justice, not little justice. And today I have a really special guest. Her name, and she's a returning guest, and her name is Barbara Charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, like Sam, Barbara Charis. And she has a new article on Substack.com, and it's entitled Journey to Wellness. And I thought, because of all of the skyrocketing costs of food today and the fear-mongering since 2019 during the lockdowns, where we saw the grocery shelves empty people hoarding food and fighting over food, was really a real rude awakening of injustice on America and the world. But we saw it firsthand. We were even threatened that if we didn't obey the powers that be, that we would be arrested, or we could be have our businesses destroyed, or we can even enter into a school or a grocery store. Isn't that interesting? So starvation is another way to depopulate the planet, of course, and it has been done to different tribes since time began. So it's not something new to history, but it is something new in America. And I didn't like it. And how did you feel about that? I thought it was horrifying and crimes against humanity, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. And because of all of that, I did write a very special book just for you, the world, humanity. Because it's not just a book. It actually is a message for humanity worldwide. It will expand your minds, open up your mind to think outside of the box. And I think we all need to do that. So I wrote this book. And it is an International Irwin Award-winning book, which I'm very proud of and humbled by those who knew Irwin Zucker, who awarded me that particular award, which is close to my heart because he passed away in late 2022. And we all miss him very, very much. He was a dynamic public relations manager, and he was the founder of the Book Publicists of Southern California. And for 46 years, he held meetings every other month of media people, and especially those in the industry of publishing and promotion and marketing and authors. He was a fabulous, fabulous man. And so my book, Obamasaurus, is pretty popular if you want to go back and read complimentary pages, or you want to read the reviews and the five-star reviews. So here is a little touch about Obamasaurus.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Yes, and while you're on Amazon.com, look up Is America Under Martial Law? And that is by yours truly, Rose Colombo. And that's with an O, C-O-L-O-M-B-O. Is America Under Martial Law? Well, it is an exploration of the mind, and it includes research, it includes credible quotes, laws, and theory. And how is it possible that America could be under martial law, or is it possible without disclosure to the public by enacting and signing off on a executive order, a secret executive order, so that the public can't figure out how the borders are open or how they can violate constitutional law or violate our human rights? It is a mind-boggling book that my former agent, Erwin Zucker, said, Is America Under Martial Law and Obamasaurus, is going to shock a lot of people around the world. And it appears that it is. So open up your minds and look up on Google Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo and Is America Under Martial Law by Rose M. Colombo on Amazon, and you can read complimentary pages and reviews of the five stars. So on that note, I am going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to introduce our guest, Barbara Cheris, and we're going to get started in the world of authors and experts and information that affects all of humanity, not just in America, but around the world, too.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live, because every Wednesday we invite a very special, prominent expert or author or both on a myriad of topics. It can be from crime to the mafia to constitutional rights to human rights to love and romance and even sex and We all know that word. It's always in the news now. That has become a political issue in our country. And, it could include romance. It could include health and wellness, and that's what we're going to talk about today, in fact, with Barbara Cherris. And you can find her at barbaracherris.substack.com/journey to wellness, or you can Google her name, Barbara Cherris, C-H-A-R-I-S. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our returning guest. She is dynamic, and she was born in Pittsburgh to Robert Edward and Clara Al Wakefield. She is a student in Pennsylvania State University in 1953 and a University of Pittsburgh, and student Harbor College, Wilmington, California, 1966. She's a master in holistic health science, Columbia Pacific University, San Rafael, California, in 1982. Her career includes director, consultant of Cherris Holistic Center in North Hollywood, California, since 1982. She is a health researcher since 1961, and she has many achievements, including she's been listed as a noteworthy nutritionist, consultant, medical researcher by the wonderful Marquis Who's Who. And so on that note, now that you know a little more about our very special guest, we will enter into the world of authors and experts. And let's just say hello and talk about our topic, how to survive food shortages and high cost in today's crazy world. So let's say hello to Barbara. Hi, Barbara. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good morning. I'm doing great, thank you.
Well,
and how are you doing,
you.
Rose? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great because I just got a copy of the catalog of my book coming out in May called Dressing Up and Dressing Down. Thank you for asking. And I'm so excited about it because they did a beautiful article in the catalog. And out of 34 books, it hit number 9 for the International London Book Fair, where it's being presented, and where everyone who's anyone in the book industry and film industry is there. And they will get a catalog from the Regency Publishers of New York and London. And the book is, let me just tell you a little bit, since it's coming up in May, Dressing Up and Dressing Down in America captures the lifestyle and fashions from the Leave It to Beaver days that led Americans to dress up, that as time went by, they left the dress code behind. Enjoy a blast from the past when Americans lived in safe neighborhoods behind secure borders, and America's fashion designers were exuding talent around the world, competing with Milan, Paris, and London in today's world of economic distress. But in today's world, they are competing against the economic distress and globalism and excessive costs for materials, labor, and the knockoffs by foreign nations. So it's important for Americans to support American fashion designers and keep Americans' fashion all American, since we are now a globalist world. And so thank you for asking, Barbara, because that gave me an opportunity to be able to tell our audience about this wonderful book that's coming out in May, Dressing Up and Dressing Down, and it's so important.
It sounds
because
very
what would we do, Barbara, without the fashion industry, right?
Yes, yeah.
Not just food.
I think it should mean something to people because I am really first buying American, and I think we have to support our industry. You know, we're going out of business because we're supporting everybody else around the world.
Yes, major clothing stores that have been all American, business owners who families, generational, or they sold them to other people who were major stores, have gone out of business since 2019 or even before that, but major ones went out in 2019. Others are still struggling from those lockdowns. And we have become so dependent on other nations like China, for example, and who did the knockoffs on a lot of our fashion designers' purses and shoes and belts and so forth, and sold them on the black market for a lot less, and really undermined our American world of fashion and designers, which really hurt. And now with the globalism, we also have textiles, and in the book I wrote about the water, the cotton, and the textiles that now with globalism are really becoming a challenge with the import and export and lockdowns and wars and everything else, that we used to be, Barbara, dependent on ourselves, right, for food and clothing?
Right.
So
and,
we've really gone in the wrong direction.
I'll say this, that Biden's administration, even before Biden was giving China trade, you know, the trade was used to be in our favor. He gave it away to other countries so that we're not making anything, and other countries, we're supporting them, and this is not the way it should be.
Not only we always supported other countries, Barbara, I mean, with our tax dollars, but now our cost of living has skyrocketed, and people I read just recently, Barbara, are shopping at the dollar stores for food and shopping at the Goodwill because of the skyrocketing cost for Americans, along with the 35 million plus illegals that we are forced to support. And I just read they're thinking about giving Social Security to them. If Americans aren't upset and outraged by what is going on since actually when Bill Clinton opened the borders to China, opened the Long Beach Navy base and the naval station and the port so that China could access international waters into our country freely, which was against the law, in my opinion. When it comes to international waters, they should stay in their own line, division of where those waters end when it comes to the USA, to be safe. And now we are no longer safe because we know we have spies all over our country too. So all of these things have been affecting our country slowly but surely. They have been taking us down. So Barbara, I wanted to talk about your wonderful article on Journey to Wellness. It's your Barbara's newsletter, Journey to Wellness, in Substack.com. And so I read that in 1973, you became a vegetarian overnight after reading Health Secrets from Europe by Dr. Pavel Arola. And it convinced you to slow down, to learn how to slow down the aging process and remove certain things out of your diet. So what impressed you about that book? And
impressed me was the fact that you can slow down the aging process by simply eating foods that are compatible with your body. And I started coming across other books about the compatibility of food with your bloodstream, and that actually if you eat the foods that are compatible, it takes away stress from your body and that you can overcome disease. Now, I went 13 years without one, or more than that, maybe 20 years without one sniffle until I started eating something that I knew wasn't good for me, but it was putting some half and half in my coffee. and I had given up coffee for over 24 years. And then I went back to drinking coffee, and I couldn't drink it black, so I put some half and half in. In 30 days, I was so sick, I was in bed for over 2 weeks just from one item that I shouldn't have in my diet. So you learn the hard way. I learned the hard way that, you know, I had totally given up dairy, and then I went back to it, just putting a little bit in coffee every day, and then I got sick. So you can avoid sickness. I would say the major foods to keep away from would be dairy and grains. Now, people have been laboring under the idea that grains are so good for you, but there are so many books on the market right now, anti-grains, and one of the best is called Dangerous Grains by James Braley, who's an MD, and Ron Hogan, MA. And this book lists 200 diseases that are caused by eating grains. So if you can get grains out of your diet, because they do turn to sugar in your body, and they are a source of diabetes, and people don't realize that you can prevent disease by not eating the foods that cause them. And so this is what I was learning for many, many years. I kept coming across wonderful books, but it was like one of the first I read was by a man by the name of Jay Hoffman, and he wrote The Missing Link in the Medical Curriculum, Nutrition in Regard to the Food. And he said there is this is the first time I ever read about food chemistry and blood chemistry. And when you get into understanding what it does when you eat the wrong food, it will prevent you from, you know, making a step that you know is going to create disease. So you have it in your hands, the ability to prevent yourself from getting ill. This is what I learned when I started reading.
Well, that's amazing because, you know, they have actually dumbed down the kids from reading and writing and arithmetic, which were the basics, and that gets you through life. And just those basics, you have to read and love to read and learn to read and teach kids to do that, because you get more out of reading anything else if you're reading the right books. And, you can get a college degree on your own just reading the right books. So giving up on coffee, okay, and dairy, and then what about, you also say you gave up meat and fish and poultry when doctors always say to eat some meat and fish and poultry.
Well, people have the idea that you get energy from meat, and actually it's from carbohydrates that you get energy. But the right carbohydrates are ones that are not processed. And processed food has wiped out the nutrients in it. It has no water in it. And when you eat enough of the fruit and vegetables, you're going to get natural organic water. And that water has minerals in it. But you've got to keep away. You don't need that much food. You don't need the 2,000-calorie diet that is being promoted if you eat the right food. So that if you talk about saving money, if you eat the right food, you won't suffer. You won't need doctors. You can save money that way. So it pays to buy organic today. Once upon a time, everything was organic before the pesticides and Monsanto and the glyphosate came in. Everything was organic maybe 150 years ago. But now we have to pay extra for organic, which is natural. It means you don't really need the pesticides. And if you think of regular conventional food, you don't really want it. You want to go to a natural food that has no pesticide, that's grown in the right, or method without organic fertilizer. And the organic fertilizer is, it doesn't provide you with the nutrients. So when you're eating conventional food, you're paying for something that has no nutritional value. So this is important.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that when we were kids, I mean, we were just going, because there was lots of fruit trees and lots of land where there were strawberry patches and orange groves, and because my parents would take us on Sunday sometimes after church and drive through the, we called it the countryside, because it had strawberry patches and orange groves and all this stuff growing. You could see the cows and the dairies and all that before all the cement and came about. And we had fruit trees in our backyard. So did everybody else in the neighborhoods. And lots of trees actually even lined up along the streets for shade and beauty. And because we didn't have air conditioners in my home, and so the trees really helped. And the thing is that we would just go in the backyard and pick fruit off the trees and eat it. Sometimes we washed it, sometimes we didn't, because kids, you know. And we were super healthy.
I know. We didn't need, we didn't have, when I was growing up, any of the electronics that are going on today. And we didn't need supervision, no little league organization. We just went down to a field and started playing, you know, softball. A bunch of kids got together, no adult. Us, and we didn't have a lot of fruit trees where we were growing up, but later on, I had a friend that lived down in San Pedro, and we used to go walking around the neighborhood, and they would have some fruit trees, and one of the trees we came across were sapota. You know what a sapota fruit is like?
No.
The sapota, it's like custard. And we found a couple trees. This is back about 40 years ago. And so we used to just gather the fruit right off the tree. And it's like, it's one of the richest sources of protein there is. I think there's 9 grams of protein per pound, which is a hefty amount of protein in a fruit. Banana has 5.4. Apple is about 1.9. So the sapota was very loaded with protein. And people think that fruit doesn't have protein, but it does. And they could actually, you know, live on fruit if they had fruit trees. There, we do need supplements, though. We need supplements. You know, we're talking about living on less, but eating foods that give you more nutrients. And when you go to the market and you're buying processed foods, you're not really getting the nutrients. You're getting artificial supplements in there, you know, like the artificial, probably they put the cheapest vitamins in the food you're eating, so it's not going to be doing you much good. And when we look at what Americans look like today from eating all the processed foods, they're not healthy.
No,
so
you didn't see that many chubby kids like you do today. And I, you know, if you're going in the mall, you see all these kids eating all this junk food, and they're way overweight, and that has to be hard on their hearts and then their self-esteem too, especially when they get into preteens and teenage years. And so I, you know, that's, you know, the parents should be more concerned about that, I think, about their health, their child's health. And also, you know, the cigarette industry also, and even doctors, because I was looking at old, I collect some old magazines from, you know, 40s and 50s, because I just think they're so amazing. And even the 60s too. And so, as you look back, and everything was so different. I mean, you can see so much about history if you look at the newspapers on the advertisements and the old magazines, and you could see the difference in what's happening. And back then, they had ads that were promoting pregnant women to smoke cigarettes by doctors. I mean, it was so shocking to me to see that. I was like, what the heck? And so over the years, they even had the medical profession promoting cigarettes. And then, you know, we knew of the big scandal that happened with the cigarettes companies and the big lawsuits mm-hmm. because of the cancer and lung cancer and so forth. And so these addictions like cigarette smoking and alcoholism also are, you know, I mean, even if you're eating good foods, don't they really deplete the vitamins and the supplements that people are eating, even if it's healthy food?
Oh, yes. You're right. You're right. People don't understand that if you don't food, you're not going to even nourish your brain. And a lot of these children on the processed foods and the beverages they're drinking, the soda, which wipes out sugar in the food, takes nutrients in order to be processed. So they're losing everything they have when they mentally, and we've lowered the ability of the brain to learn in this country, whereas we used to be high in math and science, we've gone to the very lowest. And I was shocked to find that America is now 45th in world health. So it says a lot about what's been going on in this country the last 60 years. Because 60 years ago, we used to be tops in math and science, and now our children cannot think.
Yeah,
so
I think
people
too,
have to
you know,
think
like,
about that.
Yeah, and
I'm
I
sorry?
Think too, like in the schools that they used to have hire people, cooks, to cook the food, whole foods, and in the cafeterias, and they always had like a green vegetable or salad or something, and then they went to you know the prepackaged junk foods where kids could just buy the prepackaged junk foods. If they didn't pack a lunch, if their parents didn't pack a lunch for them or they didn't pack a lunch for themselves. So, I mean, little by little, things began to change into, I think, into these fast food agendas where people were getting used to not eating home-cooked meals with whole foods. What do you think? Because do you think that also was an agenda that was moving forward in our country?
Yes. Oh, definitely. You're absolutely right. People didn't take the time to prepare at home, and it was more convenient for them to buy the fast foods. But they didn't realize the fast foods had no nutrient value, so their children were suffering, and they were suffering too. And along with it is the body sets up a craving when you're not getting the nutrients you want, so you keep wanting to eat more food. So it's a vicious cycle when you don't get the nutrients you need. And people today, maybe it's going to be good because during World War II, when they had rationing in different countries, heart disease dropped because they rationed meat, they rationed butter, they rationed the foods that were creating problems, and then the people became healthier. And if you have a limited budget, you've got to put your money into fruit and vegetables. And also, I was thinking, we didn't go into the market. We were amazed for 3 weeks because we did stock up the last time we went there, but I do buy through a company called Vitacost, and they have a lot of foods that are health foods that don't have any sodium in there. So if people want to stock up a little bit on nutritional foods. They do have sales where you can get 20% off of the food. So when you can buy food at 20% off, stock up, because you know the prices are only going to go up in the future. So this is what I do.
Mm-hmm. Once they go up, they don't seem to come down.
Nope. Once they go up, they don't come down. So what we do, like, for example, they have soup, and there's no sodium in it. It's one of the best soups, I believe, on the market. It's called Health Valley. And I don't want sodium in my food, because sodium retains fluid in the body. And I learned from my father, who died of heart disease, that he was eating too many foods with sodium in it, and then his heart could not pump his waterlogged blood. And so this is what caused his death. So sodium, you know, the RDA for sodium is 2,000 or 2,200 milligrams, and that standard has been changed, because when I started studying nutrition, they said 400 to 500 milligrams was fine, and that was back like over 60 years ago. And now it's 2,200 milligrams, and we've got people dying of heart disease, like in mouse. You know, so the standards have been changed.
Yeah, I think it's like 550,000 people die every year in the United States from heart attacks and strokes. And so that was interesting to me, because, you know, somebody can look like my daughter's neighbor looked like the epitome of health. He was probably in his 50s, and he went out and jogged every morning, and he looked like he was, you know, really in good shape. He got to his front lawn, and he dropped over dead from heart attack. So, I mean, you just don't know, even by looking at somebody. So maybe it was his diet, right?
Oh,
even
definitely.
Though he's super healthy.
95% of the time, illness is created by diet. And doctors don't study it in med school, which is like probably because of Rockefeller, you know, what he did in the early 1900s. You know, took nutrition out of the school because they wanted more sick people.
Yeah,
they don't study it.
Right. I was in the beauty industry for a long time, and I remember asking doctors, you know, do you think we should take supplements and vitamins? And they'd look at me like I was from outer space, you know, and they'd say, well, we don't really study nutrition, supplements, and vitamins. And so that opened my eyes a lot, because I was like, you don't study supplements and vitamins because that's how your body's healthy and your immune system and nutrition. I mean, that boggled my mind. I mean, for a long, long time, you know, I was like, and so it was interesting to me that now you see their names on all sorts of vitamins. Same thing with skincare, because I would go into their offices, and if they were a foot doctor, because I had a skincare line and a spa, I'd bring my my creams, and I'd be like trying to sell them on selling it to their customers, you know, because your feet still need to be moisturized and kept soft and, you know, subtle and stuff. And I mean, I always just tell people, like, well, what would you do without your feet? You need to take care of your feet, you know, and they start laughing. You know? Never thought about that. But they, too, would look at me like, you know, I was from outer space. This was during the 90s. It was like from outer space. And, well, we don't sell skincare, you know. Well, now every one of them found out the profit margin, and they all stuck their names on all these skincare products, and they get a movie star to promote it. And they put a lot of, you know, estheticians with their own skincare line who went to school and went to a lot of workshops with the doctors and like I did, and they paid for the advanced skincare school and all that stuff. And I mean, if it's competition, you know, to have a doctor's name on a skincare product and then a movie star promoting it, who probably never used the product, but, you know, they're promoting it and marketing it.
Yeah, right.
Making
that's
a lot
for
of money.
Sure.
I mean, they mm-hmm. they put a lot of estheticians and salon and spa owners out of you know, reducing their sales, because when somebody sees Dr. MD on a product, they automatically think that's the one. You know what I'm saying? So they ended mm-hmm. up being the competition to those of us who were in the skincare business, and prior to that, they said, oh, I don't even one not even just one more several doctors said, oh, I don't even think we're allowed to sell skincare. So, you know, because they were only into prescription drugs. So this is how things
right.
have changed. It all became money. It all actually, my whole point was, it's about the money.
Right. It's the always
profit.
The money. You know,
yeah.
that's for sure. But if people made a list of the very necessary foods that they need that do have the nutrients in it, and, you know, in order to be able to buy foods, you don't want to buy processed foods because processed foods are more expensive, but they don't have the nutrients that you need. So what you want to do is eat. Buy foods that will last for a while in your refrigerator, like, you know, like carrots. Carrots will last in the refrigerator for quite a long time, and they're a very good source of vitamin A for the eyes. And there are other foods that you can buy. I don't advocate using white potatoes, but yams are very, very good, and they will last, so you don't have to go and run to the market to buy yams more than every couple of weeks. So in order to save money, if you keep out of the store, and when you only buy what you need and try to eat wisely, you'll be able to buy the foods that do have nutrient value. You don't need that much if you eat the right foods. The only reason people buy these, go to the market and they stock up on all these foods, and you can see some people, like when I go to Costco and I watch people's baskets, they're putting all kinds of things in their baskets that they don't really need, that are setting themselves up for bad health. So you can cut back, and then you won't be craving the foods that aren't giving you the nutrients you need. The reason people want so much is because they're not getting the nutrition in the foods that they're buying. So it would save
yeah.
money.
Yeah,
it would save
that's
people
interesting.
Money.
That's interesting, because also I noted that you wrote at one time that you were always bombarded constantly with the question, where are you getting your protein? And you said that most are unaware that some of the largest animals in the world are vegetarians, like elephants, giraffes, gorillas, dinosaurs, etc. I threw in dinosaurs because of Obama, my book, Obamasaurus.
Yep. Yeah.
He's a very healthy vegetarian, Obamasaurus.
Antelopes, buffalo, elks. These are massive animals, and they don't eat meat. So you get protein
yeah.
from almost every food. Every food actually has protein in it. And if you have the ability to sit down and analyze what you're eating in one day, you're going to find out that you're eating four times more protein than your body actually needs. And when you have the excessive protein in your body, what you're doing, you're setting yourself up for cancer and heart disease and all kinds of different diseases, because you're getting too much protein. And too much fat
yeah.
and too many carbs. So people, if they knew how to eat right, and I think that they should start teaching children in first grade how to analyze their food. I think this is very important. It would keep them well. If they just thought about what the sugar is going to be doing to them, it's going to make them hyperactive. It's going to cause them to have, they won't get along. When they took the sugar away from some, they did a study in Los Angeles in a prison there, and they took the sugar away from the inmates. The inmates settled down, and they don't realize how hyper children get when they have these chemicals in their body from processed foods, and the sugar is the worst.
Well, I remember
it's literally the worst.
As an advocate for justice, when I was out there leading marches for against injustices, hitting the newspapers around the country, I remember there was a case in the news where somebody, I don't know if they just, I can't remember now if they just injured somebody or killed somebody, I didn't remember. But their defense was that they had eaten, I think it was like candy bars or something, too many candy bars, and they had too much sugar in their system, and it caused them to, you know, act out against that
person.
Was
that the Twinkie defense?
The Twinkie defense. You remember that? Yeah. The Twinkie defense. But it was based on sugar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was amazing.
Sugar,
I never
excess
forgot
sugar
that.
Can make you go crazy.
Yeah, and that's what his defense was, that he ate so many Twinkies that he was high on sugar. And
yeah.
You know, and what's amazing to me, too, was during the lockdowns, we can't talk about the CV, but during the lockdowns, when they told kids they couldn't go to school unless they complied with you know what, and if they did comply, they were going to give them free donuts. Do you remember that? Free donuts, free sugar.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
you
how
know
healthy
what,
was that?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is the government does not know anything about nutrition, and there are certain industries that it's promoting. So this is what's happening both in the hospitals and in rest homes. I don't know whether you know this. My mother was in a rest home, and she said to me, time she had any meat, she was like in her late 80s, she said that it absolutely wore her out trying to digest it, and she didn't want it, they were pushing her to eat the meat and drink the milk, and she said that it was wearing her out. And I found out that the government was the one that makes, the woman in the home said, well, this is what the state tells us we've got to feed the peoples. So the state is forcing their non-nutrition views on people in the rest homes. And they don't know what they're doing, and they know nothing about nutrition, and they're simply promoting foods that they're, you know, pushing. And our USDA, Agriculture Department, they're not doing anything about our soil, and our soil is going to hell. They're not doing anything about teaching people about eating the right foods, telling them you should eat a lot of raw food, too. They don't mention the word raw food. Raw food is the food that has the most nutritional value, and the food that you can eat the most, that with which is raw, is fruit. And nobody, even the health people, are shying away from telling people to eat fruit. And it has more value. You know, they say it has too much sugar. You know, they'll say that fruit has too much sugar and that, they're worried about the carbs. Well, fruit comes in a package with fiber. And when it has a lot of fiber, it negates the sugar action in the fruit. So fruit is one of the best sources, and you don't have to cook it, and it's tasty.
Yeah, you said something also. You wrote that our 32-long intestinal tract was designed primarily, or foot, 32-long intestinal tract was designed primarily for the consumption of fruit and green plants, and fruits are the foods of a near ancestor whose DNA is only 16% different than ours, the gorilla. I thought that was,
I know people don't want to look at a gorilla and say, oh, we that's an ancestor. But of all the animals, they have the same fingers, the same toes. You know, they each have, like ours, and they have what you'd call the grasping thumb. And the grasping thumb is in order to pluck things off the bush. They have the grasping thumb. We have the grasping thumb. We do not have claws to catch an animal and hold it, and we don't have the teeth to rip it off. Now, the gorilla, the same thing. Most gorillas, unless they're, you know, like driven by absolute hunger, they don't eat meat. And people think meat is necessary, and I went, you know, 50 years without beef. I don't eat beef. Occasionally I'll have some fish, and like at Thanksgiving, my children have always kind of pushed me into having some turkey. But when I think of how much in protein there is in 4 ounces of turkey, there's 43 grams of turkey in 4 ounces. That's more protein than a human being needs in one day. So people, if they knew how much protein they needed and realized how much they're overeating as far as protein is concerned, and if you knew that excess protein could cause cancer or heart disease or make you ill, you'd think twice about eating the excess protein. So when I eat, I'm aware, you know, like at Thanksgiving, it's so easy to overeat. You're not going to stop with 1 4-ounce piece of turkey, and you're going to just go. Is when you hit 100 points, for me, that's like 4 times more protein than I need in one day. And people are just not aware.
You also said that the chimps, the monkeys called the chimps, chimpanzees, are closer. Well, you said humans are closer to chimps in our DNA, but I wonder, because chimps are meat eaters and will even eat their young, gorillas are family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So there's,
yeah,
there's a difference.
That's
there.
A thought, isn't it? That's a thought. The gorillas are family oriented. That chimps don't have it, and yet their diet is different than the gorillas. The chimps will eat anything, and they are kind of like erratic. You can't trust a chimp, because you might think, oh, that chimp is so sweet, and the next thing you know, that chimp is eating your face. They are very, very voracious, and they will eat
that
anything.
That actually happened. That actually happened to a lady who had a chimp as a pet, and he turned on her and ate her face.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the news a few years back.
Oh,
yeah. I was shocked.
Uh-huh.
People aren't
thinking that that the meat can make people more carnivorous. I know this. In 1980, I wrote a treatise. I got a copyright on it. Charles Ho for Diet Information, An Aid to Higher Consciousness. And I put in there that when I became a vegetarian, a few years later, my consciousness absolutely changed, and I started writing music, words and music. It's like it lifts you when you get away from eating meat. It's like you go to another level when you realize you really don't need it. It's expensive. You don't need to put the money out for it. And it does change your consciousness. So I do think that becoming a vegetarian changed me a great deal as far as my consciousness. At first, I wasn't thinking about consciousness. I was thinking, when I read that Health Secrets from Europe, Pavel Rolla wrote that he could tell a woman's health by looking at her face. You know, he said that he could tell if a person smoked because you could see the lines around their mouth. And I started thinking, uh-oh, I've been smoking. You know, I had smoked about 15 years, and I had lines around my mouth, and I thought, uh-oh, I better stop. But when I finished that book, it was like mind-boggling. I thought, I am doing everything that's causing AIDS. I'm eating a pound of meat a day. I'm smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. I'm drinking 10 cups of coffee a day. And when I finished the book, I said, oh, I'm doing everything wrong. And I said to the creator, I said, take my addictions off of me. I don't want to be addicted to these foods anymore. And so I said a prayer. I woke up the next morning. I had absolutely no addiction to cigarettes whatsoever. I stopped. I have never gone back to the smoking. I never went back to eating meat. And it was like about 15 years or so before I went to Greece. I had a little bit of lamb when I was in Greece because I couldn't find food that I needed to eat while I was traveling. And when you go into the Greek islands, they don't have much fruit. So I had some lamb when I went into the Greek islands. But I didn't go back. I didn't stay with it. And I keep away from meat because it's just too much protein in it. And I'm doing great. And I have this to say. My mind is functioning better today at 89 than it was when I was 29.
I can think better. You are on, my goodness, you have a great mind. So that says a lot. I mean, proof is in the pudding there. And you also wrote, the organs in the body break down internally from not receiving the enzymes necessary for the assimilation of nutrients and health problems. And then you said, people have to be aware that all processed foods sitting on grocery shelves were designed to make money for the producer. And that I found this interesting, that few people eat enough raw food to counter the amount of processed and cooked they consume, and raw foods have enzymes. Processed and heated food have none.
Yes.
And look,
yes.
We're all microwaving today, too.
As soon as you go over about 125, they used to say 118, but I think it's around 125 degrees, that the enzymes can't exist when they are, when you're hit with heat. And think about what happens when most of the foods that are being processed are processed at maybe 350 degrees there for an hour. There's absolutely nothing left. So they have to put these synthetic vitamins and minerals into the food, and what they're putting into them usually are very cheap vitamins and minerals that really do nothing for the human body. And when you see, it's amazing that people can live as long as they do, but they don't look good, and they're suffering, and they don't feel good, and they have aches and they have pains. And I can say this, I have no aches, I have no pains, I don't take medication for any physical problem there is. I don't have a problem because I try to stick. I'm not 100% perfect, but I do try to stay with primarily a lot of fruit and vegetables. And, you know, they advocate, you know, using like at least 10 4-ounce servings of fruit and vegetables daily. Sometimes I get 15 or 16. fruits and vegetables a day. And when you get the fruits and vegetables that haven't been processed, they are anywhere from 75 to 95% water. So you're getting what you call natural organic water when you're buying organic fruits and vegetables. And this is where you can get a lot of your water.
Thank you so much, Barbara. The time went by really fast, and we have to say goodbye, but thank you so much for the wealth of information, and I hope everyone reads your Barbara's newsletter, Journey to Wellness, at Substack.com, and God bless you, Barbara. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, love. Thank you so much for inviting me. Bye-bye, dear.
You're welcome. Bye. And that's all we have time for. Barbara Charis has left the building. Barbara Charis, C-H-A-R-I-S .substack.com/journey to wellness. She's also an author. You can look her name up online. And that's all we have time for. Thank you for listening. Be sure to bookmark and follow Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.